We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Birthday I've had already. 6:31 on a Friday morning. I have been out and about since before 4 a.m. My limo driver, my cab driver, who's a huge fan of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, he loves us both, the great Gene, was parked outside my apartment very, very early this morning. My daughter's boyfriend, Toby, who lives in Wimbledon, not far from London in England. As you guys know, if you follow this show, Bernie and Sid, and follow me on Instagram at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney, he's been in town now for quite some time. They went to camp together in Pennsylvania, ended up coming home. He went upstate with me, met my mom, my family, blah, blah, blah. So finally this morning, he's heading back to South Carolina for about 10 days, basically to quarantine before they all head back to England. In fact, my daughter's going to meet him in South Carolina next week. So he had to go home. So his mother booked him a train, an Amtrak, to South Carolina, to Charleston. Takes about 13 hours. So Gene picked me up very, very early this morning because the kid's train was leaving at 5:58. He's already out there. He's left already. And so for the first time ever this morning, Bernard, after spending many years, although not as many as you, but many years at Madison Square Garden, at Penn Station, co-hosting these shows with you on the 17th floor, I went for the first time today to the brand new Moynihan Terminal, where they've got Amtrak and the railroad and all that
right,
stuff.
The modernized.
Yes. Have you seen
the one on 8th Avenue? Only on, like the commercial used to say back in the 60s, only on TV. Remember they said about the kid, hey, have you ever seen cows and horses in the country? Only on TV. The black kid, you know, remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember
so
the commercial.
Yeah, so there you go. Only on TV.
Yeah, well, I was inside it today. It is a gorgeous place. I mean, it's white, clean, pristine. Now, look, don't kid yourself. As soon as you exit the doors on 8th Avenue, there are six guys sleeping outside the door.
But not
that
inside?
That stink.
Not inside, though?
Not inside. I didn't see one because I had to leave the kid there because I had to get to work. So I had to leave him there, and I was a little, nervous, hesitant about leaving him there until I got there. And they have security guards. It is clean. There's no homeless inside there. They're right outside the door, right outside 8th Avenue. But the Moynihan Terminal is gorgeous. No ATMs, though. I had to walk two blocks to a TD Bank at about 5 o'clock in the morning, which you don't want to do on 8th Avenue.
Not in that hood.
No.
So why couldn't they do the same thing at the Penn Station on 7th Avenue?
I don't know.
I mean, what's the you keep the bums out of the damn terminal.
I don't know.
How is the... I mean, if you could do it on 8th, you could do it on 7th. It's not that difficult.
I agree with you.
I mean, what's the problem?
It almost looks odd because, again, it's so nice. Now, look, in 5 years, we'll go back there and it'll start to resemble.
Let's hope not.
Well.
Let's hope not. Let's hope we've all learned a lesson. I know that's Pollyannish. But,
no, it is. But what scares me, though, is that if I had exited the place and I didn't see any homeless in the area, I would say, okay. But I'm telling you, Bernie, I opened the door, walked out to go back to the cab to see Gene to take me here, and there were six guys laying in their own feces right outside the door of this clean, white, pristine terminal.
Never fear. Once Curtis Leewa takes over, they're going to scoop him up and stick him in an institution, and then inside and out will be pristine, and we'll be back to normal.
Okay, but here's my question. What if Curtis Leewa doesn't win, which he's not going to, so...
I think Adams has expressed actually the same sentiment.
He has.
We have to actually treat these people. And that's sort of euphemistic talk to get them into an institution. We have to institutionalize these people. Don't leave them out. A, lock them up if they're criminals. But B, if they're not fugitives, put them in an institution. Get them the hell off the street is the bottom line. I don't care how they say it. as long as they express that sentiment.
Yeah. You know, I haven't been down on that block in that area for a while. I mean, I pass it every now and then, but again, walking around, walking two blocks to TD Bank, standing outside on 8th Avenue, Gene parked on 8th Avenue. It really is seedy, man. It is.
I know.
It is.
Tough.
It is every bit as bad, at least this morning, as it was those 5 years you and I were together.
Well, 5 years, the pandemic years, the pandemic a year ago. We came here, believe it or not, exactly a year ago.
In July. Yeah.
Yeah. The last week of July.
That's right.
And up to that point, Penn State, I never saw it so bad from the start of the pandemic in March of 2020 till July when we left.
Yeah.
When I was walking, you remember, I was walking around with openly with a knife in my hand.
I remember it well.
And it was that bad. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I had flashbacks to, the 70s and the 60s growing up in the Bronx.
It still looks that way, man. At least this morning it did. It was very rough. But again, at least Eternal was gorgeous. And Toby is on an Amtrak train on the way to Charleston, South Carolina, as we speak. It was good to see you, kid. And Gene, thank you again for this morning.
Cheerio. I hope you said
cheerio.
That. Cheerio.
Cheerio. I'll see him in London the end of August when we take a look at schools and see him and his family, and it's all very, very nice.
You, by the way, the UK just decided that you will not have to quarantine.
That's correct.
And that's,
as long as you're vaccinated.
They just made that decision.
They just did.
In the nick of time for you.
That's why Danielle went last week to Maimonides Hospital.
And he's going to get the second one.
Yes, that's coming up August 13th.
All right.
There you go. Priorities, bro. I told you, you want to start to go places and do some things, you need to comply whether you want to or not.
Got to do it.
Anyway, huge day today. Tiki Barber is going to stop by, the former New York Giant great. There's a lot of sports news. The Yankees made not one but two major trades. Bernie's favorite pitcher is on the move from the nation's capital to out west to the Dodgers. Talking about Los Angeles, they picked up maybe the best all-around player in the NBA to add to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So a lot going on, but it is 6:37 on this Friday morning. Don't forget, folks, Lost in Love Air Supply. You can be watching me and Bernie right now. I know most of you in your car, maybe on the LIE, the Bell Parkway, the Cross Bronx, maybe Route 4, I don't know. But you can watch us. The stream is up and live every morning now at WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com. If you've been watching our Instagram pages at It's Bernie and Sid and at Rosenberg.Sydney, you see they've been taking these interviews, whether it's Lauren Conlin, Curtis Sliwa, Dolores Catania, and making them into short little clips. They're on our Instagram pages. That comes straight from the live stream. Gabby Lopez does an amazing job every morning. So make sure you check that out, folks, today and every day right now at WABCRadio.com. So when I walk into the Moynihan Terminal this morning, the first thing I hear, Bernie, and this is exactly the big story today, first thing I hear is, make sure you're wearing a mask when you walk in. You will not be allowed on the train. You will not be allowed anywhere on these premises unless you are wearing a mask.
Really?
So I walk in, and I'll give you one guess as to whether or not I was wearing a mask.
Well, obviously not.
Not. Everybody but, else was. And there were a lot of families with their luggage, Amtrak, about 10 trains, leaving at 6 o'clock. The workers, security people, all wearing masks. You cannot go on the train. This Toby, he's got a 13-hour trip right now. He's got to wear a mask the whole way.
Though, is that actually an official mandate now?
Because
in New York State, they haven't made it. So maybe the federal mandate, it's a federal transportation agency, perhaps the Amtrak thing, but not New York. I don't think New York.
I don't know about that because when I was taking New Jersey Transit last month to a couple of meetings, don't forget, they threatened to kick me off in the middle of my train. I was like an hour from the house if I didn't wear a mask. And they told me that you have to wear a mask on New Jersey Transit until September the 15th. And I believe that September the 15th is going to be moved forward because of this new nonsense with the Delta variant. But at least right now you cannot go on a Jersey train without a mask until September the 15th.
Well, it's all stupidity. It's silliness. It's overreacting. As you know, the best headline ever in the New York Post, if you want to hope, folks, if you want some hope, real facts, that is out of 161 million vaccinated United States residents. Of those, a tiny 5,601 have caught the quote-unquote breakthrough COVID and were hospitalized, which is like it's 0.35% or something like that. Infinitesimally small. Also, and just 1,141 have died, 0.0007%. So what are we doing? Why are we overreacting again? Why the panic? Asks the New York Post. They label it insanity.
Yeah, well, the answer is very simple.
Why the new mask mandates? Why no common sense?
Very simple. It's all political. 2022 midterms, 2024 election. And if it was just insanity and people were just confused, I'd feel better about it. But there is an evil agenda behind all of this that's not going away anytime soon. And that's why I remain so skeptical, I should say. And nervous about what's coming next.
There are actually some saying that the no, Karen, we're not masking again is a good winning message.
I saw that.
For 2022 for the Republicans, for the common sense people.
Yes, that's in today's New York Post.
Yes, that's actually legit because people are sick and tired. If you know the facts, the reality, and what and contrast that to what they're making us do, you're going to vote for the common sense people, the Republicans.
Let's hope so. All right, big show again. Tiki Barber, former Giant great, here at 8:40. We're going to talk to Konstantin Maroulis. He's got a great show coming up tomorrow night at 5 o'clock here on the station. Debbie Gibson, Lisa Loeb, and Sophie B. Hawkins. He'll be here at 9:25. And the Yankees make not one but two blockbuster trades. Two big-time Italians on their way to the Bronx. I was thinking yesterday, Bernie. A year ago today, a guy that Bernie and I both liked very much, and a guy that was a frequent guest, because he was actually on my station down in South Florida, 850. We had Joyce Kaufman, we had Geraldo Rivera, and Herman Cain. And he passed away a year ago today. And I swear to God, Bernie, it feels like that was yesterday.
It does.
Right?
Yeah, I can't believe it was a year ago. Herman Cain. Yeah, he had some underlying issues, I guess.
Did he die from COVID?
Yeah, he did.
But he had other comorbidities. He was sick. He had like a heart problem or something else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The heart problem. Yeah. But yeah, such a nice guy. And it just, you know. And by the way, I'm just reading right now, speaking of shiny objects, longtime Senator Carl Levin just died.
Do you know who he was? I don't know who he is.
I remember.
He's out
him.
Of Michigan.
Yeah, he was. He was prominent for a long time. But he just he's old and he died.
Well, he's not prominent right now.
No, well, he is for a moment.
He was
just on TV.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't live. I don't think.
No, but yeah. Listen, that's the whole thing with the vulnerable people are vulnerable. I mean, they're the ones who have to worry about all this. Not
bottom
the rest
line.
Of us.
Bottom line,
and especially if you're vaccinated, it's all good. I read the stats before.
Yeah, I was thinking this morning,
infinitesimally small chance of being affected by this stuff.
So Biden continues to talk every day about mask mandates and all this stuff, and it brings me back. I keep going back to like last year when you and I again were in, you know, Penn Station, Madison Square Garden, just making the move over here. Remember 3rd Avenue when we first got here? It was a graveyard. We didn't see cars until 8 o'clock in the morning. We didn't see one cab until 8 o'clock in the morning. And it reminded me of all those days I would watch Donald Trump and Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx and Mike Pence almost every day. Actually, not almost every day. Every day.
Every single day.
Remember the time when the gunshots rang out? And they had to rush President Trump out of the briefing room. Remember the guy was out there on the grass shooting?
Oh, of course.
They shot him. The security guy shot him outside the White House. But they had to rush. Remember that he started the briefing and it's like, got to go, Mr. President. And everybody's like, what? The hell's going on? Remember that? That was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But he was out, like you say, every day taking and answering questions.
He came right back in.
Without an attitude. And again, the same thing with his medical team. All of them are subject to all these questions. For example, like where is the data that's forcing you to have this mask U-turn all of a sudden? But one thing Biden did say yesterday in this minute that we have left before traffic is he did finally, he gave the former President Trump some credit, a little bit of credit for the vaccine.
The vaccine was developed and authorized under a Republican administration.
Wow.
And it's been distributed and administered under a Democratic administration. The vaccines are safe. Highly effective. There's nothing political about them.
But he didn't say Trump. He said Republican, but he wouldn't say Trump.
Listen, it is, it's still a small, tiny olive branch, a little shout-out to the president who did I mean, the vaccine has saved this country. It saved this country from this Delta variant, for example. I mean, we would be protesting in the streets like they're doing in Australia.
That
like
sounds
doing
so
it,
good.
Like they're doing in France, like they're doing in Greece,
yep.
Because they're all locked down because they don't have the vaccine.
Tokyo?
We have it.
What's going on?
Japan and other.
The Olympics.
They're not rioting necessarily
no,
in Japan.
No, no,
but,
no.
But yes, the same thing. They don't have the vaccine. We have it.
We have it.
Because of the plan that the former president put together.
That's it, folks. Again, at the risk of sounding like we're sucking up, Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. It was called Operation Warp Speed. And while the liberal media was making fun of Donald Trump day in and day out, the fact is, he got those vaccines ready by last December, something they all said he was crazy to even infer.
In fact, he not only didn't have anything to do with it, he screwed it up when he paused the Johnson & Johnson and made
right.
people more vaccine hesitant.
That's right.
For a short time, and maybe we're seeing the results of that now.
I think so. Tiki Barber is going to be here today. So is Constantine Maroulis. Again, a lot of big happenings in the world of sports. Lydia reports and Beat Bernie, plus Juliet Huddy. On the news.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABCF simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. We have more Joe Biden yesterday on his vaccination mandate threats and the masks and the exchanges in the White House press room. And also the teachers union head, Randy Weingarten, what she said about kids and schools coming up this and by the way, it's right around the corner, and it didn't bode well for our poor kids in this nation, but we'll play that a little bit. And one guy running for the Senate, what he said about childless politicians, we'll get into that. Also, Lizzo, you know, Sid's favorite, the big butted Lizzo, who flaunts that butt like she's proud of it, like you would flaunt, I don't know, like you flaunt your big muscles, for example. She thinks that that's an asset, no pun intended. Anyway, there's a rumor that she stage dove and killed somebody. I swear to God, we have the video of her responding to that rumor. It's funny.
Minnie, for $64,000, who wrote this song? I know this is Manfred Mann's version of the song, but who wrote this song?
Johnny Cash.
No, I'll give you a hint. He opted, despite the invitation, to not allow New Jersey to name a rest stop after him. Bruce Springsteen. So, Gene, this morning, my cab/limo driver, on the way from the Upper West Side down to Moynihan Terminal, Penn Station, dropping Toby off, take the train back to South Carolina, decides to go down west. I guess he took 8th or 9th Avenue. And it's ironic, we pull up at a traffic light on the way to Penn Station right in front of Hudson Yards. So Toby, of course, lives in Wimbledon, England. He's not a New Yorker. So I point out the Equinox Hotel right by Hudson Yards. He's aware of Equinox because I work out there in Kensington in England occasionally. And Kensington is not far from his home in Wimbledon. I say, you see this? There's a guy here. His name is Stephen Ross. You know what he owns, Toby? He goes, what? I said, he owns Equinox. He owns SoulCycle. He owns the Miami Dolphin football team. And he built Hudson Yards. And then we drive past the vessel. And I go, you see this thing here? He goes, yeah, that looks really cool. I go, it is really cool, but they keep shutting this thing down because kids, teenagers, keep jumping off of it. They've had a bunch of suicides. That's this morning. I get into work. I have no idea about this. Get into work, open up the New York Post, and sure enough, yesterday, a 14-year-old kid vacationing right in front of his parents, jumped off the vessel, killed himself, and now today they may shut this thing down forever. I just had the discussion at 4:51 a.m. this morning, pointing out the vessel, Hudson Yards, and I didn't even know this. Yesterday, another kid killed himself. It's crazy.
Horrific. And right in front of the poor family.
Yes.
Good God almighty. Yeah, it's the spot, but... Hey, that poor guy who invested all that money, who you just
Stephen
mentioned.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That place has turned into a disaster.
Well, it's beautiful.
The whole place.
Really?
I mean, he started it, then the pandemic came about.
Oh, true.
People didn't go because the restaurants
closed.
Were closed. Yeah. Huh?
And he's got beautiful shops.
Yes.
Beautiful shops.
And, of course, you know, the real estate prices in the city just plummeted.
Yeah.
Which screwed him. He's trying to sell apartments, obviously. But
yeah,
So all of these things just combined to make it it turned into a disaster.
Wow.
Well, maybe it'll come back at some point, but he might not be around to enjoy it.
Now he's getting up there, Stephen Ross.
The vessel. Yeah. I mean, what is this?
I don't know. What people actually go there to commit suicide?
And by the
it's
way,
nuts.
Let me just say this: it poses a hazard to pedestrians downstairs.
Of course. How did Michael Judge, the great priest, the great father Michael Judge, die 9/11? Somebody jumped out of the tower and landed on him.
There was a lady.
He was sitting there with Rudy Giuliani and Bernie Kerik.
A lady over the weekend, I believe it was over the weekend, she jumped from an Upper West Side building in your neighborhood with her dog.
I saw that.
And
with the dog.
Same thing. There's people on the street. I mean, I feel how horrible for her.
Right.
But what about the people on the street?
Of course.
I mean, is she looking down and saying, okay, the coast is clear, now I can jump?
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago when Danielle, now she's on Long Island, but she used to work for a law firm on 49th and 7th. And literally right outside of her building, some lady was walking by, a professional, nice-looking woman in her 60s, and a boulder, like, you know, a piece of the building, a rock fell, and it killed her. Remember that a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Killed her right there on the spot.
Horrendous. But as far as the people committing suicide, I mean, it happens all the time. It's been happening since time immemorial. But what maybe has the pandemic and the lockdowns and all this looming, pending, maybe potential future lockdown and masking and fear-mongering?
Interesting.
What is that doing? The kid, the 14-year-old kid, he may not be going back to school or something. Maybe, who knows? I mean, all these actions have consequences.
Well,
all these doom and gloom. By the way,
they do.
The New York Post has an editorial this morning that saying that the CDC, the Biden administration, has to get rid of Rochelle Walensky.
They have to.
Because she's nothing.
Rachel Walensky.
Yeah. But she's nothing but negative,
agreed,
doom and gloom.
Agreed.
In fact, she used that very phrase a couple of months ago. I have this impending sense of doom. Mm. And, of course, it was unwarranted. It was completely unwarranted. But they say that she's just, you know, they need a better communicator. And because they're scaring the hell out of people, and the statistics don't back them up.
My kid's school, Gabriel, for example, sent out an email, I'm not going to mention the school, to me and Danielle yesterday, about how when he gets back, he's going to have to wear a mask and he has to be vaccinated. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. He's 12 years old. He's got some issues, my son Gabe. He has dyspraxia. And I'm not for putting this stuff in his body. I'm just not. And they're like, well, he can't come back to school. So I'm not going to tell you what the next email from Danielle to the school was. What I will tell you is she's a big-time attorney. That's all you need to know. And she was pissed. But his school telling us yesterday that if he wants to come back on campus, which he hasn't been for about a year and a half, in September, he needs to be vaccinated. And you're not going to tell me to vaccinate my 12-year-old kid, even my 17-year-old daughter. But her, maybe. My 12-year-old son, no chance.
Right.
And they're telling us it's 1,000% mandatory.
And your son, he actually thrived, your daughter did as well, with the hybrid learning, with the remote learning, I should say. But other kids don't. Staying at home is really, really depressing
to him.
Well,
he wants to go back to school too.
Okay, so now he does as well. So it's very, and some kids live in horrible circumstances. They want to go. They want to eat lunch. They want to see their friends. They want to take the mask off and they want to smile, be able to talk. They won't let them. Joe Biden did strike an encouraging note yesterday regarding schools. Listen to him.
We can and we must open schools this fall, full time. It's better for our children's mental and emotional well-being, and we can't afford another year out of the classroom. Every school should be open, and we're giving them the tools to be able to do so safely.
They should, but they shouldn't be forced to wear masks, suffocating kids.
Terrible.
All day long, and forcing them to get vaccines, which they completely and totally don't need.
You can't do that, can you?
You can't do that. The stat is that 337 kids died, and they did with COVID, not even of COVID, with COVID. They're not even sure. They don't even give you the delineation between the with COVID or from the comorbidity that they had.
They don't know
when they died. I mean, it's unbelievable. So zero healthy kids died during the pandemic. That's
zero.
The bottom line.
Yeah.
Zero healthy kids. Yet, listen to this. This is not an encouraging. Randy Weingarten, the American Federation of Teachers, very, very powerful lady.
She's like Rachel Walensky. She's also all doom and gloom.
Yeah, and they wield influence like you can't believe. In fact, the government actually incorporates verbatim some of their language on suggestions on what to do regarding opening schools, masks, et cetera. This is what she said yesterday.
We want schools to reopen and have a safe and welcoming climate. In the fall, Delta threw us a real curveball, and you know, the lack of the herd immunity and enough people being vaccinated,
so listen,
and
here we go.
You know, kids not being able to get vaccines,
they're able
12
to get
and under.
It.
We're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools, and we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
Try to open up schools. Try. What do you mean try? Try. Mandate vaccines for all teachers. And, yes, put the kids ahead of the teachers.
I should be back in school.
Unlike what they did for the last 18 months, they put the teachers ahead of the kids. And maybe that's why that kid jumped off the vessel the other day.
Yesterday. Maybe. Yeah,
and maybe
knows?
That's why suicides are up and, you know, drug overdoses are up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Geraldo Rivera, he reacted this way to that particular clip, and he speaks for a lot of people.
It made me sick to my stomach when I heard Randy Weingarten. Because as a parent of a school child, but to hear the teachers' union suggest, and once again, that they're not going to go to school, that all that we've been through, 16 months, and everything, all these promises and everything else, and now they're not going to go to school, she let that threat of an atomic bomb. It was so severe and so profound that I'm sure that every school parent out there that heard that had the same kind of that I had.
Right.
Is that this is a very, very serious threat from a very, very powerful, if not an all-powerful, union chief that can determine the fate of public school parents.
It's selfish. It's cruel. It's awful. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. There's a guy named J.D. Vance. In fact, we talked with Lauren Conlon about him the other day. He's running for Senate in Ohio, and he said some controversial things. But he talked about some of these bureaucrats, some of these politicians, and some of these union leaders, like I guess Randy Weingarten falls into this category. Anyway, he reacted on the school thing and masks. Listen to J.D. Vance.
Most miserable people in the mainstream media are these mediocre journalists who have their entire sense of self-worth wrapped up in their crappy jobs instead of in their families. People who know where they came from, people who go home at night and see the face of a smiling kid, whatever their profession, I think they're happier, I think they're healthier, and they're going to be better prepared to actually lead this country. And the problem that I have, especially as we're entering this period of COVID obsession again, is that we have so many people proposing we mask our children again. Look, the people who are proposing it, they don't have to go home to a child at the end of the day. If they did, right, I don't think they'd be proposing all these ridiculous restrictions again.
And he's talking about, he was talking about people like Kamala Harris and AOC and even Randy Weingarten. They don't go home to kids at night. They don't have kids at home. So they don't understand. They don't have the empathy, perhaps, that they would have otherwise.
They don't.
And yet they're making these decisions that affect these kids. And it really is horrible. It's really, it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, I always say that folks who don't have kids should never be making parental decisions. Because I know for me, I used to be able to watch a movie when I was a teenager. If there was a kid abducted in a movie and the kid was killed, which I think is the worst thing that could ever happen in life, I could watch that movie. Since I've been a parent, I can't even watch movies like that. I can't. Because you can't help but put your kid in that role. And that's the difference, the mindset between somebody who's never had kids, never had that feeling, and somebody like you and I who have had two beautiful kids of our own. Folks who have not had kids should never, ever, ever, ever make decisions about parenting and kids.
And, you know, it informs me, because my kids are older than that right now, but it informs my thought process on what's happening to kids, because I think back. What if my kids were actually going through this right now?
Right.
And by the way, that guy, J.D. Vance, he's running for Senate in Ohio. He was the author of the book and then turned movie, Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, he's running for Senate, and he's part of what they call the new right these days.
Not a great day for Robinhood. Opened yesterday, $38, I think, on their IPO.
Wah,
and
wah.
A rocky day, huh?
Yeah. Robinhood, he fell off his horse in Sherwood Forest.
It's only one day. Let's see if they can rebound today. Anyway, two great guests. Lydia reports. Beat Bernie. So much good coming your way on this Getaway Friday. Keep it right here, the Friday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Folks, check out WABCRadio.com right now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77. WABC, register now and good luck. Tiki Barber, going to be here at 8:40. I've been told we can't talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. His lovely wife, Tracy, is a big rookie star on that show, which you'll find out next season, season 12. But plenty to talk about with Tiki besides that. But can I give you my favorite story of the day?
Yeah, please.
All right. I always like it when white people who bend over backwards, and you and I talk about this all the time, who bend over backwards and humiliate themselves, and all of us, including me. He's humiliated me, too, just so he should know this. Bend over backwards to satisfy black people, the BLM movement. And I love it when those movements and those people come back and make the white person feel horrible later. We've seen some examples of that. So this guy, I know you hate this guy, Bernie. My hate's a strong word, but I know you don't like him. Either do I. This politician out of Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse.
Right.
So he's a member of a very, very ritzy golf and beach club on Rhode Island. And I haven't been to this beach club, this golf club. Something tells me not a lot of black folk golfing every day on that course. But Mr. Sheldon, who's all about BLM and the black movement and blah, 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 has now been given an ultimatum. This makes me erect. I swear to God. Shouldn't say that this early in the morning, but I'm being honest. They've given him an ultimatum that if he doesn't quit this rich white man club that he loves and belongs to on Rhode Island, they are quote-unquote, you ready for this? Make his life miserable. BLM giving this guy an ultimatum. Bernie, my favorite story of the day.
Yeah. It you know, feed the crocodile and eventually it'll eat you. And, of course, this is what they said. And this guy, it's the BLM Rhode Island chapter. He actually said, we'll go to his club, and this guy's name is Mark Fisher. It doesn't exactly
Jewish.
Sound like, you know, Ibram X. Kendi.
Oh, he sounds Jewish.
Exactly right. Yeah. But, again, these are crazy, sicko, self-loathing white people. Anyway, here is what he said. We'll go to his club. We'll go to his office. We'll go to his home, wherever we need to go.
Oh, my God.
This is an issue that's not going to go away. Sheldon Whitehouse needs to address it. He needs to take it on. He needs to quit the club.
Yeah, I believe it's either today or next Friday. It may have been today. It's a Friday, I know that for sure, but that's his deadline to quit or they're going to make his life miserable. And I hope he doesn't quit, and I really hope. I don't want him to get hurt.
I guarantee you
make him
quits.
Miserable.
Guarantee you he quits.
He's going to quit?
Yes, yeah. He was. This broke about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. This virtue signaling, again, another self-loather. Some reporter nailed him, cornered him, and asked him a question about
it. He had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. Thank you.
Of course it should exist. What are you talking about, stupid?
And
if you don't want to go because they do what they do, then that's all the power to you.
You know what? I understand that they actually, the club opened their membership up to black people.
I'm sure they did.
And no black people wanted to join.
Of course not. So, they're all whites.
So now Now he's caught in a bind. He's like, well, the club changed their policy, but no black people, no blacks wanted to, no blacks signed up.
I got to tell you, I've been a member of a couple of beach clubs. Again, this is a golf slash beach club on Rhode Island that White House is a member of. But I've been a member of a couple of beach clubs on Long Island, including right now, Atlantic Beach, Catalina. I don't see a lot of African-American folks here. I don't. So what happens is over the years, years and years, white people have become members of these clubs, and even though black people are invited, let's face it, they're not comfortable going to a club that's going to end up being 95, 98% white. I mean, they would rather hang out with black people. That's a fact.
Are we allowed to enroll in these historically black colleges like Morehouse College?
No, I can't go to, I can't send Ava to Howard University.
Can I? Is that,
not that I want to, but.
No, hey, listen, it might be a very good experience. They're good schools, quality-wise, but I'm just wondering if we're allowed to...
I don't think so.
That seems a separate, unequal justice.
I would agree with that. Yes.
I don't know. But anyway, Sheldon Whitehouse. Another funny thing that happened... Well, you know what? We'll get to that in a little while. We don't have time right now.
The prediction from Bernard McGurk is he's going to quit.
He's going to quit, no doubt about it.
Right now he's on the sixth hole, just so you know, and he's off to a good start today.
These people have no backbone. They have no, you know, they have no courage whatsoever. No, they're just quivering, self-loathing, guilty white people, and to be labeled racist is the worst thing in the world. Even though. Yeah, you know, again, the club has changed its policy. It's right. Open to black people. It doesn't matter.
And by the way, the club didn't change their policy, and you have an issue with the club. I'm okay with that. That's fine. Go with the club. But what do you want from Sheldon? The guy wants to go to the beach and play some golf.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
So Nancy Pelosi has decided that anybody entering the Capitol, not wearing a mask, in the House only, not the Senate, not wearing a mask, will be subject to arrest. So they're going to give these Capitol Hill cops something to do, finally. I know they did something on January 6th, but for the most part, as I've since found out, since January 6th, they're nothing more than glorified museum guards. But now they've been told, arrest the staffers who are not wearing masks. And but that doesn't include congresspeople. However, it got very ugly in the Senate, in the House yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit of that, but also Alfredo Cuomo. He had on this guy, this restaurateur out in from Los Angeles. He had him on the show last night, and he thought he was going to slap him around a little bit, but the exact opposite happened. It's a great listen. We have that coming up here on the Bernie and Sid Show. And the clip of the day, by the way, is coming up right after Sid with sports and traffic with Joe Nolan. But now it is time. For Bo Snerdly, every Saturday morning here at 8 o'clock in the morning, here Bo says that New York City criminals don't have any fear of the consequences for their actions.
This is New York City. What is the mindset of four adult human beings in Harlem who see a 60-year-old woman walking with her walker and decide that she's prey? What's the mindset? Somewhere in the back of their minds, if you can call them that, realize that they might be apprehended, taken off to jail. Apparently they don't fear that, but they don't fear the real consequence. This is New York City under the reign of Bill de Blasio.
Every Saturday morning on 77 WABC, Bo Snerdly.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh my goodness!
On 77 WABC.
Yankees lost by 2 touchdowns. I'm not kidding you. 14-0 the Yankees lost to Tampa last night. Gerrit Cole had a miserable outing, gave up 8 runs in just over 5 innings of work. So the Yanks now find themselves after 101 games, just 5 games over 500, 8.5 behind Joseph Abud's division-leading Boston Red Sox. But to the Yankees' credit, Steinbrenner and Cashman, they are not sitting idly by. In fact, they made 2 major trades yesterday. Firstly, Joey Galloway, twice a 40-home-run season, and already 25 home runs this year. Well, the 27-year-old left-hander is on his way to the Bronx, and here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on the Gallo pickup.
Look, I'm thrilled he's coming to join the fold. This is obviously a tremendous player. I think, you know, hopefully people are talking about what a tremendous all-around player. We're getting a really good athlete, a guy that runs the bases, that has some speed, that's a really good defender in the outfield, and obviously the tremendous patience and power that he has.
not just Callow and Rodriguez. The Yankees weren't done. How about Chicago Cubs first baseman, big-time power hitter? He is 32 years old now, but still a big-time hitter. 14 home runs this year. Anthony Rizzo is on his way to the Bronx.
This will always be home for me, but like I said, best friend of the game, John Lester, did the same thing. That's two special places in his heart. So but for these next 3 months, it's going to be fun to go right to a race and see the Yankees pull the triggers like this, hit Gallo. Me now, obviously, but that's what they do, and they're excited.
A few more noteworthy baseball trades. Kyle Schwarber is 25 home runs on the move from the Nationals to the first-place Red Sox. And how about Max Scherzer and Trey Turner dealt from the Nationals to the Dodgers last night, too. Russell Westbrook on his way to the Lakers to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And also, the Mets did lose to the Braves last night 6-3. They remain 3.5 ahead of the Phillies. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out, peerlessborders.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best borders. With sports at the bottom of the hour, I'm Sid.
I got to tell you, if I wasn't married to a 13 out of a 1 to 10, a complete knockout, and surround myself with beautiful women every day, there's no question you'd think I was gay. The way I dress, Air Supply, I mean, come on.
Even Meanie's, but it's a great song, though, no? All Out of Love, come on, man. It's a great song. Even Bernie likes this song.
At the appropriate time.
Juliet loves this song. This is the appropriate time. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, this is when you play stuff like this, not DMX. Sorry, DMX, I know he died.
it's not a choice between this and DMX.
What's in the middle?
There's a lot of other.
It's like Sister Golden Hair Surprise?
I don't know. There's a lot of
America.
Good 60s and 70s.
What, you can play Motown?
Some good crossover soul music.
Give me an example of one. We'll play it next. Temptations?
Temptations.
He loves it.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg. How about that?
Which one?
I don't know. Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Play that next.
But
ain't
whatever,
too proud
that's one
to
example.
Beg by the Temptations.
You got a million others, a million, thousands, thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
It's overwhelming, actually. It really is. It's too much. But anyway, yeah, that's not a bad song. Just before you go to the vessel.
Oh, you stop.
I mean, that's the kind of song you listen
no,
to,
No, that's
right?
not. No,
I'm all
no,
out
no,
of
no.
love.
I actually play those types of songs when I'm in the gym lifting 275 pounds. So that's me. I mean, I know it's not the average person. You're right, Byrne. They'd be more maybe Bush, maybe
so
AC/DC, but I play Air Supply.
I run the gamut. I listen to stuff like even Nat King Cole, Love. Love
great
is
song.
All that I can
oh,
give.
Great song.
And, or the Mills Brothers, Glowworm. Glowworm.
I like that song.
And then
yes.
I'll go into
I like Moon River better, though.
AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long.
Now, I do some of that.
I
sure.
mix it all up.
Yeah. But usually 9 out of 10 of the songs will be more like Moon River for me. And Air Supply, then, let's say, AC/DC.
You kind of warm up a little bit, right?
Right.
You do.
I got a big day today. Shoulders and tries. I can't wait. I can't wait to go to the gym. I can't wait to go to the park and get some sun. And I can't wait to have sex. Those are the three things I can't. And I see my kid, I guess.
That's
not in that order, exactly.
Very good to hear. Hey, listen, you might not want to after I tell you about this.
Oh, no, don't tell me someone's going to ruin my Friday.
This very, very popular singer, and this ties into music and perhaps what you're going to do, your third choice today.
Okay.
Lizzo, the pop singer Lizzo.
Oh, juice, baby,
She likes to flaunt that big old butt of hers.
It's gross. It's so gross.
She weighs about, probably, and God bless her. I mean, she's proud of it. She flaunts it. She weighs about 250 pounds.
See, that's gross. I know she's proud of it.
Whatever.
People like, that's good for her.
Some people like it.
Nobody
likes
it. Some
people don't.
Nobody likes it.
But there was a rumor circulating.
Yeah.
That she took a stage dive. You know how they do? What do you call that? Surfing? Crowd surfing?
Crowd surfing, yes.
Yeah, she dove off the stage to crowd surf.
Like a mosh pit. You just dive headfirst into
yes.
the crowd. Yes, yeah.
And she killed somebody.
Did she really kill somebody? Stop.
I swear to God. You can Google this. But it turns out that that rumor was, well, maybe not true. According to Lizzo, anyway, this is what she said.
The thing that bothers me the most is this rumor that I stage dived at a concert and killed somebody. Like, that rumor, it's a lie, first of all. I've never stage dived in my life. Like, I know I'm big, but I'm not that big.
You know why I don't believe that story?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You know why I don't believe that story? Because if she really did stage dive into a full crowd of people, there's no way only one person dies.
would be a mass killing, huh?
Right. 10 people dead.
Yes.
Lizzo at the top of the pile.
8 people still in critical condition.
Right. And she did steal that song from Bruno Mars. Do we have that? We can't. Oh, it's not on the list of songs. God, I want it. Every once in a while, Lombrosi really angers me. But she stole that song from Bruno Mars. It's not Juice. It's, oh, Juice. No, it's the other one that she stole, I guess. She's good. She's got some talent, but she's just keep your clothes on, man. It's enough of that.
Yeah, really.
It's enough.
I'm begging you.
We don't want her to be depressed.
But either way, and we don't want her to kill people.
Right, or herself
don't
for that
be
matter.
Killing people.
People get very upset, and, you know, body shaming. And in this day and age, you've got to be politically correct. But, you know, there's got to be a happy medium between you look good and you just don't. And she doesn't. That's
so,
the bottom
so
line.
So this restaurant owner out in L.A., for some reason, he had this policy that you have to prove that you're unvaccinated to get into my restaurant. Obviously, with something tongue-in-cheek, he's making some sort of point. I think his name is Tony Roman, right? Is that his name? Tony Roman.
Correct, Tony.
Tony Roman. So he goes on. He's got a fancy restaurant in L.A., and he goes on with Fredo to talk about. Fredo invites him on.
Cuomo, Chris Cuomo.
Fredo Cuomo on CNN.
Yeah.
On fake news CNN, of course. And he's going to needle him and put him on the spot and all that stuff. But this guy was a little feisty, was Tony Roman, and he wasn't so enamored of the Cuomo kid. Listen to this.
The whole reason this is happening is because people won't protect themselves, Tony. I mean, what are you thinking?
Then why did you leave your house when you had COVID? I mean, you had it, and you left your house. I mean, it's been documented.
First
right?
of all, so it has been documented. My ass, it's been documented.
My ass.
I quarantined. I went out. My wife got accosted by somebody.
I don't know, man.
And I know you don't know, so I'm trying to help you. You're
trying to help me? Oh, you care about me all of a sudden, huh?
Enough to have you on the show because I don't like people making bad decisions for themselves and their family. I was hoping it was a little bit of a stunt.
Maybe we should ask your brother about protecting people,
oh!
right?
Hey, look, that's his job. And if he doesn't do it well, people won't vote for him.
A whole new can of worms.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. But this guy's
by the way, he says he was doing his job, and if people didn't like that he killed 15,000 people, they won't vote for him.
Right.
That's quite a defense of your brother's murderous activities.
I mean, I wouldn't even bring that up if I'm his brother. I wouldn't even utter those words, killing 15,000 people. He's an idiot, Chris Cuomo.
Well, no,
he's an idiot.
Yeah, well, of course, Tony Roman brought it up.
Oh, okay.
But his defense was...
don't vote for him, right.
It was hardly a stellar defense of his brother's activities. A little more.
And everybody knows that he did stage that coming up from the basement.
Everybody knows. It's on videotape.
I mean, what is he talking about? It's not documented.
And he was out, no mask. He's infected. He's got his and his family got infected afterward as well.
I know that. And then he actually got a letter. And by the way, so did I. So I'm guilty of the same thing. But you know me. I admit it. I don't wear a mask. And I think it's a lot of this is more nonsense than real. He actually got a letter from his building saying, stop walking around the building without a mask.
Right.
Chris Cuomo. That's documented.
And so he should stay away from certain topics.
Right.
It's just like when people talk about the big lie, people like Brian Williams and Mike Barnicle.
Right.
They should stay away from the topic. Stay away from using that phrase, the big lie.
Yeah. It would be like O.J. Simpson becoming a marriage counselor.
Yeah. Or, operating some, shelter for domestically abused women or something
right.
like that.
Right.
Anyway, there was more. Tony Roman versus Fredo. Listen.
But look, Tony. Look, I don't know if you know me too well.
My,
I'm shy away
my
from
stand
much.
Is not
I'm
a political
you about
stand.
You.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that too because I know you talk a lot. So my stance here is a pro freedom stand only. It's not political. You're never gonna. If you come down here, you're not gonna see a Trump flag flying mm-hmm. over the roof. You're only gonna see pro freedom messages, and that's it. And you're not gonna drag me down the hole talking about the science. This is not about whether I'm pro vaccine or not. I'm pro freedom, anti tyranny. You know, maybe the conversation should really be between me and your brother. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe so. You're pro-freedom, but people can't wear masks. Tony, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. I gave you a chance to make the case. I wish you well. I hope your family stays safe.
I made my case. You didn't have much to say. You didn't have much to say.
I mean, so honestly, you sound like an idiot, so there's not much to say. But, Tony, good luck with it. See you.
And so do you.
Yeah. Only for having you on the show. That was my only mistake.
Yo.
Wow.
Didn't go the way exactly.
No. I don't think Chris Cuomo thought it was going to go.
No, and then the other topic you and I discussed this earlier in the week, of course, was Simone Biles. It continues, and it was, as you pointed out earlier, it became, for some reason, I don't think it was justified, but a big story. Became a big story.
It's the biggest. It still is.
Well,
three
no,
days.
The biggest is the Delta variant.
Well, that's fine. It's right there with it.
Right. But for some reason, it did become, yes. So anyway, Ben Shapiro, he actually Charlie Kirk, our colleague here at Noon.
Yeah.
He actually said this, echoing your sentiments exactly, about Simone Biles. Take a listen.
We are raising a generation of weak people like Simone Biles.
Yep.
She's an incredible athlete. Of course she's an incredible athlete. I'm not saying, I just said she's probably the greatest gymnast of all time. She's also very selfish. She's immature. And she is a shame to the country.
Couldn't agree more. Exactly what I said. I know afterwards, as predicted, the Nassar stuff came out and the sexual, all that stuff, which, by the way, happened years and years ago. She knew about that before she boarded a flight to Tokyo. She knew about that before she went to Tokyo. She knew about that when she won gold medals last time. And now what these athletes do is they wait for the grand stage. They wait for the grand stage. And then all of a sudden, they go on these, listen, the sport is not that big anymore. Whether it's LeBron with BLM during the NBA Finals, Simone with this. This didn't happen last week, folks. I'm not saying it wasn't a horrendous experience, but she's won gold medals before when this has happened.
Yeah, it was a horrendous experience. A terrible, terrible. And by the way,
why go to Tokyo in the first place?
By the way, the FBI failed her because she thought she would do well. Listen, if Michael Jordan had some sort of reservations about how his performance in the Game 7 of the finals.
It's a silly hypothetical. He would never not play, ever.
But if he did and he missed a shot, well, that's a terrible thing. But if she's flying through the air and doesn't do it right, she could break her neck.
So what? You can get killed on a... What are you talking about? Well, sport, you can get killed on... Listen, Brett Favre, his father died, okay? And him and his father were as close as me and my father, you and your father, okay? And he decided to play Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders. I got news for you. He's got a much better chance of dying during an NFL game than Simone getting hurt off the parallel bars. Now, by the way, Favre had the greatest game of his career that night. But the point is, in any sport, you run the risk of getting hurt. It's a sport.
Yeah, but this,
and that's your job.
It's not quite.
Her job.
Like I said, she could break her neck as opposed to.
You can't break your neck playing football.
Well, you can't break your neck on a basketball court. I mean, the chance of doing so are far less. But either way, my point is this. This wasn't a right-left issue because you actually had Ben Shapiro tweet this out. Simone Biles is not a cowardly villain for pulling out of the Olympics. She isn't a brave heroine for pulling out of the Olympics. We live in such an insanely polarized society that we just can't let people be people. And Ted Cruz joined in. He added to that comment. He goes, yep, common sense is no longer common. And then the ex-Navy SEAL Congressman Dan Crenshaw, he wrote this. Simone Biles has been making America and Houston proud for years.
True.
She has been the woman in the arena, a place that internet trolls know nothing about. We can be disappointed in her decision, but until you're the one stepping up to win the gold, maybe sit this one out.
So, yeah, couldn't disagree more.
There you go.
So she basked in the sunlight before she won the gold, and she decided this time around I'm going to grandstand and make this my place to tell you folks about it. I haven't changed my mind a little.
Your best point was I wouldn't criticize her. I would criticize the people lauding her for quitting.
Well, that's what I was doing.
But I would just leave it alone. I wouldn't laud her for quitting, nor would I criticize her for quitting.
Well, I'm going to criticize her for quitting.
All right.
But you're right. The thing that really bothered me that night was watching Shepard Smith and hearing Kerry Strug and Shannon Miller talk about this girl like it was the most heroic thing she could have done. But she should have just stayed home. Don't go to Tokyo if you're going to end up doing this.
When you have people like Gwen Berry and Megan Rapinoe,
those are
way more offensive.
They're disgusting. Agreed.
So there you go. Yeah. So the Simone Biles thing on the Bernie and Sid show. More of Biden. And we're going to talk to Tiki Barber next hour. The whole mask thing, what's coming down the pike is scary. New York City, I believe, is going to make the announcement, contrary to what you might have heard. He's going to make, de Blasio will make the announcement on Monday, what's going to happen in the city. But I think Governor Cuomo supersedes whatever decisions he makes. So we haven't heard from the governor yet. Anyway, more on the Bernie and Sid show.
We choose to go to the moon.
Boats this Saturday at 5 p.m. before Cousin Brucey. It's the Constantine Maroulis show. In fact, Constantine will join us coming up at 9:25 this morning and every Friday. Because Saturday Night Rocks, right here on Music Radio 77 WABC, we are celebrating women in music in pop culture, the divas. And Constantine's got three great acts. I love all three of these ladies. I really do. I'm not just saying it. Lisa Loeb, Debbie Gibson. Oh, I love her. And Sophie B. Hawkins. And American Idol's Kimberly Locke in the house for karaoke with Constantine. Plus, an amazing song list of hits by female artists and much, much more. Entertainment, rock and roll, pop culture. We'll do it with Constantine Maroulis coming up tomorrow night and every Saturday at 5. He'll be here this morning at 9:25. We've got a very exciting hour this hour coming your way. Lydia Reports comes up next at 8:25, and then the most prolific, I think, offensive player in the history of the New York Football Giants, the great number 21, Tiki Barber, will be here at 8:40 discussing a variety of sports issues, including this crazy deal, which may have two of the best teams in the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma, moving to the SEC. So we'll discuss all of that. Major baseball trades last night. Russell Westbrook about to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. All that going on. We'll talk to the great Tiki Barber coming up at 8:40 right here on Bernie and Sid.
You know, you've been hearing a lot about this these infrastructure bills down in the down in D.C. Well, they had two of them. One of them was $1.9 trillion or something like that. The other was $3.5 trillion. Either way, the second one, the $3.5 trillion one, that one, well, that was really the wasteful one. That was the one that would have screwed us. Inflation is going through the roof as it is. And we're all hoping that Joe Manchin's going to be the voice of reason. He won't vote for it. They're going to vote, you know, it only needs 50 votes as opposed to 60 because it's a spending bill called reconciliation, whatever. So if they lose one Democrat, they can't pass it. And Joe Manchin is a guy we were counting on to say, no, I'm not doing this. And they're including other things in it, like the voting reform bill in a spending bill. I mean, it's a real sneaky move. And plus, it's going to break us. It's going to break us financially, again, with inflation. But Joe Manchin, well, he's going to vote for it. But you know who's not?
Who?
The senator from Arizona. And her name is Kyrsten Sinema.
Yes.
She says,
yes.
I ain't voting for that. 3.5. She's the one who's going to save the country, perhaps. Mm. Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona. Both of them, well, West Virginia, of course, where Manchin is from, is a, you know, that's Trump country. And Arizona, it's on the, you know, it's a 50, it's a purple state, if you will. So anyway, Kyrsten Sinema, of course, she incurred the wrath of some of these crazies in Congress, the Hamas squad people. For example, this Cori Bush, this nutcake from, I believe she's from Missouri. She wrote, is this the bipartisan infrastructure group or the audience at a Kid Rock concert? She's talking about the people who were negotiating the bill, including Kyrsten Sinema. And she used the hashtag, hashtag negotiations so white. So white. So everything is about race.
Yep.
Everything is about race.
Isn't it?
And then AOC, she writes this about Sinema. Good luck tanking your own party's investment on child care, climate action. That's right. This is all the crazy stuff they put in there.
I'm the boss.
A civilian climate court. A core. So, yes, let me repeat. Good luck tanking your own party's investment on child care, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a three-house margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color from negotiations and calling that a bipartisan accomplishment. In other words, again, the race card from AOC, from a liberal Democrat senator in Arizona who's you know, exercising common sense.
Right.
But they're dropping the race card on her because that's all they have these days. That's all they have is the stinking race card. And all these crazy people making these nutty decisions. Everybody from, I played the clip, Randy Weingarten. We're going to try to open schools. And AOC. And even Kamala Harris. People, she's involved. Now she's talking about the root causes again of this the catastrophe at the border, why people are coming here. She wields a lot of influence in the administration. So, again, I talked about this guy, J.D. Vance. He's running for senator in Ohio. And he says that people like the aforementioned three that I just mentioned shouldn't be really making these big decisions because of a certain factor in their lives. And he got a lot of heat for it. But listen to what he said, J.D. Vance.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it? I just wanted to ask that question and propose that maybe if we want a healthy ruling class in this country, we should invest more, we should vote more, we should support more people who actually have kids, because those are the people who ultimately have a more direct stake in the future of this country.
And again, I was surprised. I had to actually Google it. Randy, AOC, perfect example. Kamala Harris, perfect example.
No kids.
So they don't have empathy for kids, apparently, because this callous disregard for kids, putting them, shoving them into depression, dependence on opioids or whatever the hell it is after a year and a half of lockdowns, and threatening to do it again.
Yeah.
Threatening to do it again.
I mean, those people will say, I love kids, and I know before I had children, and again, Ava's 17 and Gabriel is 12, I said the same thing, and I think I really meant it. I did love kids, but until you really have your own child, until you walk into that room in the middle of the night and you hope to God that that little baby is still breathing, you just don't get it.
No, you
don't get it.
I don't think so.
You really, the love for a kid, it's just...
And don't tell me about your nieces and your nephews. I've got tons. I love them all. I diapered them, took them to birthday parties. My nieces and nephews, love them. Until you've had your own kid, you don't know what the hell you're talking
and
about.
And the dread that you carry around with you, that something bad might happen to your kid at any time. It could always happen. You read things and you say, wow, that could have been my kid in the car accident
of course,
or whatever.
Even last night, Ava and Toby wanted to go out. I took him to the train station this morning. He went back to South Carolina. And they want to come home at 10 o'clock at night, which is not all that late, but I got to be up at 3:30 in the morning. I cannot fall asleep. I cannot fall asleep until everybody is home and the doors are locked.
And let me tell you something. My kids are in their 20s. This feeling never goes away.
I know.
It really doesn't. Unless the kid is a total creep.
Right, right.
But ours don't happen to be, so we're blessed.
Even then you see parents that'll defend, not my son. Well, he killed 30 people. Not my kid.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Listen, the love of a parent, especially a mom, I guess, is there's nothing like it. Although, look, I mentioned yesterday, and a lot of people picked up on it yesterday, and validating me in reporting this yesterday. Of course, Joe Biden, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Nope.
You should drive an 18-wheeler, he's telling a truck driver. I guess maybe he thought he was off mic or something and that wouldn't be picked up, that lie. But he was on mic other times telling lies that turned out to be patently false. I mean, this guy is a freaking screwball. Here are a couple of examples of him in the past. All of these things, by the way, folks, that he mentions here are complete and total fabrications.
Hope you won't hold against me, but I am a hard coal miner. Anthracite coal, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Okay, that's where I was born and raised. And it's nice to be back in coal country.
I had the great honor of being arrested with our UN ambassador on the streets of Soweto trying to get to see him on Robben's Island.
One of the most shady guys I ever knew, because I got arrested trying to see him when I went down to South Africa, Nelson Mandela.
I came back from South Africa trying to see Nelson Mandela and getting arrested for trying to see him on Robben's Island. He was in prison.
And, of course, back in the day, he had to drop out of the presidency for plagiarizing. But not only that, remember I graduated first in my class.
Yes.
I'm way smarter than you. And I have even audio tape. I'm not going to bore you with it right now of all the guys back then. Sam Donaldson saying, this guy's crazy. What is he talking about? He wasn't even near the first of his class. Anyway, this guy, also the Corn Pop story. Do we believe the Corn Pop story? Listen.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain.
It's like...
And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. I got hairy legs.
I mean, so based on all the other things, of course we don't believe any Corn Pop story. But this guy, and I've played him before, this guy's hilarious. This guy, Mark Stein. He was on Tucker's show last night, and he was just funny. And that's why I'm going to play him now, because he made fun of Joe Biden, and it was actually hilarious. Listen.
I utterly deplore your skepticism about this. He, in fact, when he went to Nelson, when he went to rescue Nelson Riddle, springing from prison, he was driving an 18-wheeler to Robben Island. He didn't realize you couldn't go by road to Robben Island. He thought it was by, like, Rhode Island, where you can go by road. So he was driving an 18-wheeler. It used to be a 23-wheeler, but Corn Pop stole five of the wheels. It's true that he wasn't actually a minor, but he has sniffed the hair of a minor. I mean, we're getting a little hung up on details here. When he said he was a fighter pilot in the Spanish-American War, and you guys go bananas, but in fact, he did once take a business class flight to Barcelona in 1978. So we're getting a little too, I think, a little too hung up on details here.
That guy's funny, man.
He's very good.
Yo, that's funny, man. That's good funny stuff. Right there.
Yeah. But he is a pathological liar. Who knew that the great John Lovitz character on SNL was based on Joe Biden? Who knew?
A psycho. Really is a nutcake who is devolving into a dementia patient.
And
this is not a joke.
There he is, the President of the United States. Can't make it up. Lydia Reports is coming up next. Lydia Serrano is always great. And then the great New York football giant running back, the former number 20. One Tiki Barber. So Lydia and Tiki coming up this hour on the Friday edition of Bernie and Sid.
I want to see these beautiful young ladies. I want to see them dancing when they're 4 years older, too.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by Life Back. One child dies every 5 days from choking. The world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself, you know, I always talk about my little girl, Julia. I wanted to protect my entire family. So I purchased this simple device that I keep right there in my kitchen. Go to lifefact.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's lifefact.net. I remember when we had former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on the John Katzmatidis show, he said the one thing that keeps him up late at night is the fact that our kids, especially on college campuses, are being brainwashed. And it really struck me because it's so true. When you're that age, you're so impressionable. Your mind is almost very malleable, and you just, you're just beginning to be an adult. And so it is frightening what's happening on our school campuses. And Brown University is obviously a prestigious Ivy League school. I saw this video on social media that's just now starting to make the rounds of faculty members, professors from Brown University. They were having a Zoom call, and I'll play you two parts, but take a listen to this first part. What a black professor is saying regarding the Republican Party. She claims that it doesn't care about black people. Listen.
The Republicans are also seen as the party of white folk, and it's actually not in black people's interest to align themselves for the Republican Party, because the Democrats are sort of more in line with securing the interests of black people.
Hmm. Okay. So if you thought that was bad, then another professor, I think she might be Asian. I wasn't sure. She wasn't black. Take a listen to what she then adds on. She's like, I'll do you one better regarding the Republican Party. Listen.
You know, I want to pipe in on that really quickly and add a different dimension. It's a really interesting question. I think what I would add to Ainsley's really interesting point is that maybe another reason for this lack of representation among blacks among Republicans is that the Republican Party claims it's the party of conservatism, but it's really the party of white supremacy that is articulated under the language of conservatism.
Yeah. Well, tell that to Ben Carson and Byron Donalds and Candace Owens and thousands and thousands of other blacks. Our friend, the ex-New York Jet, what the Burgess Owens.
Burgess Owens, yeah.
I mean, what are they talking about? It's just
if you think that's not being, it's not bleeding, they're clearly very, very left-leaning radical beliefs aren't bleeding into the classroom, and they're not articulating their feelings, their animosity towards Republicans. And I mean, the fact that they openly say that, you think they're not getting that across to their students in their classrooms, and you're delusional.
Everybody knows that they're getting that across. They're trying to get it across. And that's why people shouldn't send their kids there. I mean, they're going to go in one way and come out another way. They're going to hate you when they come out. essentially. But, you know, there is a Brown University professor, and I've used played him clips of this guy before on the show. His name is Glenn Lowry. And, well, he doesn't, he's not down with that sentiment exactly. Take a listen to this guy.
Glenn. Could it be true that every member of the top administration of this university reads the George Floyd incident in exactly the same way? I, for one, don't even know if it was a racial incident. You know, he died, a jury spoke. Was it a racial incident? We're going to have a racial reckoning? I mean, I think something remains to be demonstrated here. That's a move. When you say it's a racial incident, when you racialize that encounter, that's a move. Emmett Till? I was alive when Emmett Till was lynched in Mississippi.
Yes.
This is not Emmett Till. I'm pretty sure of that.
So he's a black Brown University professor, Glenn Lowry, and he disagrees with those hateful ladies. As a matter of fact, I have more as well. Lydia, take a listen.
How many times can you remind the white majority of this country that their numbers are shrinking and they're about to be dominated by a coming non-white coalition of Latino and black and whatnot? How many times can you tell them that they are intrinsically racist, that their lives are built upon an unearned privilege? How many times can you accuse them of failing to see your humanity when, in fact, you're living in the freest country and you are the richest people of African descent ever to have walked on the planet? I'm talking about black Americans. How many times can you do that and not have them get the idea that they've got an identity, too? It's a racial identity and it's not yours. That's not the world you want to live in. You don't want to be told in response to your iconoclasm, we're going to tear down all the statues. We don't like Mount Rushmore. We think the founding fathers are full of shit. You don't want to be told by those people. I tell you what, where's your civilization? You don't want that.
Does it give you a little
good
hope?
Stuff.
Give you hope, Lydia?
Yes, that's good stuff.
Sid, yeah, huh?
Not enough hope.
It gives you hope, but the politics don't belong in the classroom. If you want to talk about them in like a larger context of why it's important to vote and democracy and history, that's one thing. But even if you're a MAGA supporter, I don't want you telling my kid that. Like, let my kid make up his or her own mind.
That's fair.
Of course.
That's what I think.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think we should not stay away from certain historical events, which these schools do, based upon political agenda. But in terms of opinions, I think you're right. I agree with you.
Right or left. Just tell the facts.
Listen, all this madness that we're witnessing today, it all originated on college campuses.
Yes.
It started. We used to laugh at them 5-6 years ago. Safe spaces and all that crap triggered. We laughed at them, and now it's like it's permeated the whole culture. The military, corporations,
sports,
athletics.
Yeah, but I actually thought at one point that Milo Yiannopoulos and Ann Coulter were staging some of these events at Berklee College just to get some more press, but it turns out, no, that was really the case.
They were very prescient, Milo and Coulter and a bunch of other people, Ben Shapiro among them. And now we're witnessing the madness, the wokeness, and it's a serious thing. You got BLM signs on suburban lawns. I mean, it's just crazy.
The BLM on lawns on the State Department. They wanted to wave their flag.
My mother is community upstate, White Lake Homes, which is 174 homes. I was there last weekend. Predominantly Jewish people. And there's all kinds of stupid families up there, BLM, and racism doesn't belong here. As if it does belong at my house, by the way.
And meanwhile,
idiots.
I read the letter the other day, this organization, Dallas Justice Now.
Yeah.
They wrote letters to people like that, and they said, if you're really down with us, make a pledge that you won't send your kids to any Ivy League schools, any of the top 50 schools listed on the U.S. News and World Report list. Make that pledge right now, white people, and then
we'll see.
Then we'll see. Yeah. Then we'll see how allied you are with us.
Well, that was
they hate
that
you.
Right there is racist. They're trying to say that blacks and Hispanics can't get into those schools on their own.
Well, that's
and so
true
in order to give them a shot, you got to give them your opportunity. It's such a it's so racist.
But even more than that, they hate these people who are sucking up to them.
Right.
They hate them. Well, as much as they hate you and me and Sid, they hate those people also.
But they don't think so. It reminds me of the fat movie director in Fahrenheit, when you're not going to send your kid to Ivy League schools, when he stood outside of Congress and he started asking one by one each politician, hey, you sending your kid to Iraq? Yeah, I don't think so. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you're all for the war, right? Yeah, I'm all for the war.
Hey,
you sending your kid? Yeah, I don't think so.
I happen to have been down with Moore on that particular case right there.
And
you know what? That's the barometer. If you're not willing to send your kid, how dare you send other people's kids?
You know what? There's a lot of truth to that. My kid's going to school in London, so I'm good.
Well, right now, thankfully, there is no war and there's no draft. But back then, he was right. There was nobody in Congress who had a kid that was serving in the military or serving in Iraq, something like that.
It's true. Yeah.
So they had no skin in the game. Nope. And so, yeah, Michael Moore, occasionally a broken clock is right, twice a day, they say? And that's Chubsy Ubsy right there.
That's funny.
Right, Lydia?
Well, this report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family. Go to lifevac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's lifevac.net. And you can also check out Sid and Arthur Lee on Facebook. They're on our 77 WABC page there, and you can see the two of them and the creator. LifeVac has saved already over almost 200 lives all over the world. So it's an incredible device. So check it out.
Well done.
Thanks,
Lydia Serrani, man. She's great. Every day at 4 o'clock on 77 WABC. And then again with Mr. Katz at Katz at Night at 5 o'clock on 77 WABC.
Gorgeous weekend ahead. Again, catch me tomorrow, Catalina Beach Club on Atlantic Beach. I'll be out there strutting, shirtless, the whole deal, you know. Don't laugh. You were the one last who could take a shirtless picture with Carol.
Yeah, but I was so jealous. That's harmless. I mean, it's a beach.
No, I understand.
I wasn't flexing.
Oh, stop. See, this is where I get. I'm not allowed to put shirtless pictures up because, well, for starters, I look really good. And people get very upset. But Bernie's allowed because he wasn't flexing.
Well, yes, it's a beach. I mean, that's the
way. But why can't I put my picture up on the beach?
You can. You have my permission.
Okay, good. All right.
You should be able.
Let me text Danielle and tell her. Bernie says.
Tell her that I gave you the okay.
You gave me the okay.
But watch out for sharks.
I am worried about that. I am.
No joke.
I know.
As Joe Biden would say, no joke.
The waters are infested on Long
Island. They are.
I know.
Big ass 6 feet sharks.
I know.
Six foot long sharks. It's no joke.
Again. I know.
This is not a joke.
Thank you, sir.
Between 1997 and 2006, our next guest distinguished himself as one of the great offensive players in the NFL. And I think his last 5 years with the Giants, specifically his last three, when he had multiple three straight 2,000-yard plus seasons, I believe he's the best and most prolific offensive player in the history of the team. I know Eli Manning is going to the Hall of Fame, two Super Bowls, 50,000 yards, but he stuck around a long time. I don't think there's been a better offensive player in the history of the Giants than Tiki Barber, my man, 21. I've been friends a long time. So there's no doubt I'm biased, same agent, Mark Lebsoelter, blah, blah, blah. And we've been good friends for the better part of two decades. But I really think he was the best and still is the best offensive player in the history of the team. You can now find him 3 to 6 every weekday afternoon alongside Brandon Tierney, another good guy, Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. And he's back once again with Bernie and Sid, the great Tiki Barber. Good morning, 21.
Good morning, guys. Been a while. How you guys holding up for the last 16 months or so?
Oh, you know we're doing good. I tell you what, Teak, and I, of course, you know I'm still close with Chris Oliveiro, and I talked to Court and all the guys at The Fan. And I know a lot of those guys, you guys too at CBS, didn't come in. You know that we never, ever, ever stopped coming in. And for the better part of the whole COVID situation, we were at Penn Station, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, right?
We came in, Teaky, every day. Now, that's a warrior, right?
That is a war. You guys are fearless. That's a little bit crazy. I mean, I think it's a little bit different for us because we have the sales guys and everybody else on our floor, so it's a little bit different over at CBS Sports Radio. But, wow, that's commendable.
Yeah, now we did it every day. We never missed a
did
day.
Did either one of you guys get sick?
Neither one of us. Neither one of us.
That's even more amazing.
Let me tell you something.
Neither sick nor assaulted.
Nothing. Right. We never got mugged or sick. And if they told us to wear a mask, we didn't wear one. Like, we did everything against the book. And we proved that we're going to be okay.
Well, so far.
So far, right. It's not over yet, Teak. But let's get to some of the big sports happenings overnight. The Yanks, they lost by two touchdowns to the Rays yesterday. But they made two major acquisitions with Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo coming to the Bronx. Now, they still can't pitch, and Gerrit Cole was brutal last night. But what do you think about adding those two bats to that Yankee lineup?
Man, if you can't keep them from scoring, you might as well try to outscore, right? That's what it comes down to. I mean, I think the Gallo signing or trade is the one that's most interesting simply because of the short porch, as we all know, in right field at Yankee Stadium. So they have a lot of power over the last couple of years, but no lefty power. So getting a lefty hitter who is either going to hit a home run or strike out or walk is really exciting, for the Yankees. And so I think the only problem with this, Sid, is that I feel like optically it makes it look like the Yankees did a lot at the deadline or are doing a lot at the deadline. And maybe they're going to flip this before the trade deadline ends later this afternoon and maybe go get some pitching. But we all know this. If you can't pitch, if you can't be reliable in the postseason with the guys on the mound and the guys in the bullpen, you're ultimately going to, get run out of it. So I'm excited because it's cool, right? We got some big names. We love the RZA. We love Anthony Rizzo from Chicago. It's fantastic. Like, we love the names that are now, getting in the lineup for the Yankees, but I don't know if it's going to help them win, which is really what's the most frustrating part of it.
NFL great Tiki Barber, Giant great on the Bernie and Sid Show. Tiki, listen, I'm not necessarily a Packers fan, but I became an Aaron Rodgers fan after his stint on Jeopardy. I must tell you, I really did.
I did too.
I really enjoyed him.
I always thought he was like mercurial and like moody and
right.
snarky, and all of a sudden I was like, dude, who is this guy?
I thought he hit it out of the park, or he scored a touchdown, whatever metaphor you want to use, but. In any case, there's some drama. He just re-signed with the Packers. He had indicated he might not sign. Tell us what the drama was and what the future will be for him.
Yeah, it seems like this is one last run that he's going to make with the Green Bay Packers. And look, I get this. I mean, he's 38 years old. It's not like he's 27 and coming off an MVP season, or even like 33 and coming off an MVP season. The Packers were doing what any good team does. You have a great player, eventually he's going to decline. And in football, it's not, we're going to have a steady, slow decline. It's usually you walk off a cliff, All of a sudden, you're just not good. You're not good anymore. And so preparing for that inevitability, they draft his replacement in Jordan Love. Now, the optics of it were a little odd. Like, they moved up to draft Jordan Love, who they easily could have gotten in the second round. We've always talked about how they never put enough talent around Aaron Rodgers. And so it just came off as callous. That's the business. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. Joe Montana played, and he's one of the greatest of all time, but at the time played at a different spot because he got pushed out by Steve Young. Emmitt Smith, an all-time leading rusher in the history of football, he was pushed out of Dallas and went to the Arizona Cardinals. So it happens at the end of guys' career.
So his feelings were hurt, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. His feelings were hurt. But then he used the platform, which I found really compelling earlier this week, to talk about how the organization doesn't treat some of the legends like Clay Matthews and those that came before Aaron Rodgers right.
Yeah.
And he's correct. He put him on blast. It has no bearing on anything. You know what I mean? It's not going to affect anything. But it was interesting how he put the Packers on blast and probably got the fans back on his side.
He did. No, and you're right. His feelings were hurt. I got to tell you something. I had a conversation, Teague, with Kurt Warner at this year's Super Bowl. You're not going to believe this. I mean, obviously he made his bones in with the Rams and even took Arizona to a Super Bowl. His feelings are still hurt with the Giants. He's still upset that Tom Coughlin benched him for Eli Manning when the team was 5-4.
I believe it. I mean, Kurt, you guys remember at that time, everybody thought Kurt was washed up. Like, his tenure with the Rams had run its course, and he was, I think he was only 33 or 34. He wasn't old at all, at least, but especially now when you look at how long guys play. But the Giants kind of put him as a placeholder. And you remember before this, Kerry Collins was our starting quarterback. He had taken us to a Super Bowl a few years before.
Don't remind me.
And but then all of a sudden, it was like, all right, we're going to draft your replacements. And Kerry was like, get me out of here. I'm not signing up for that. So they brought in Kurt Warner to do what Kerry Collins wouldn't do, which was be the holding piece for Eli Manning. And I'd be upset as well.
Yeah.
And he proved everybody wrong, obviously, because he went out to Arizona and had a great career. And in fact, Larry Fitzgerald credits Kurt Warner with a lot of the development. and his wide receiving abilities from route running and everything else, learning the game on a different level. It was all because of Kirk, who was amazing. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Yeah, no, he was great. Tiki Barber talking about great those last 5 years with the Giants. I don't care, Barry Sanders, whoever you want to point out, nobody better than Teak. Hey, let's talk about college football for a second. You went and your Hall of Fame twin brother, Rondé, also a great announcer, too, to Virginia. I went to Miami. That's the ACC football, Tiki Barber. But
you can claim it now. You can claim it now.
Now I can, yeah. Yeah. Listen, I was there in the days with Bernie Kosar. Listen, when I was at Miami, just so you know, Howard Schellenberger was the coach, Bernie and Tiki. The four quarterbacks on the roster when I got to Coral Gables were Jim Kelly, Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde, and Mark Richt. That's one team in Miami. How about that, Tiki?
Wow. But, I wonder how much that cost.
No, there's no money in college football. Come on now.
Well, now there is.
Now there is. Now there's big money. And now we're talking about realigning some of these conferences. You think of the Big 12. You think of Texas and Oklahoma right away. And now they're talking about maybe joining Florida in the SEC. How crazy is that, Tiki?
It's nuts, but I mean, it was inevitable, right? Money has shifted. We've seen the explosion of these television contracts. They're not on par with what the NFL is making, but to be honest, Sid and Bernie, they could be if the college commissioners and conferences would align together, right, and collectively bargain their TV rights. I mean, it would be an enormous TV package for all of those college games, and I think that's where we're headed. So the SEC yesterday decided to accept Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC. So they're now going to become 16 teams, which is a super conference, right? But it's going to create this huge economic opportunity. And so the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten now have to figure out a way, at least I think, to match that and add a couple more teams. Notre Dame could join the ACC, or West Virginia, who gets left out because of the Big 12 falling apart with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, could join the ACC. And all of a sudden, we're going to have four super conferences, which create this massive playoff system, which we know they're trying to expand. And so we went through this about a decade ago, Sid, Bernie, where realignment happened. We see teams going across. Rutgers moved, and Texas A&M, they moved. Missouri moved to the SEC from the Big Ten. We all remember Johnny Manziel beat Alabama. That was back when that was happening. It's happening again, and in part because of money, in part because there's just new. There's a new feeling around the NCAA. You guys probably, I don't know if you covered it or not, but about 3 weeks ago, the Supreme Court basically slapped down the NCAA Austin NCAA versus Austin case, saying that educational monies can now be paid to student athletes, right? Just because you're a student athlete doesn't mean that you can't have the same opportunities that a regular student would have, like for a grant or for a paid internship or anything or scholarship based on merit. So you get straight A's, you can make $5,000. Student athletes previously were prohibited from getting that. And so the NCAA has effectively been neutered. And so in that void, the college conferences are starting to take command and create super conferences, which is going to draw in more money over the long haul. And I think it's good for college football. It professionalizes it a lot, but we kind of were already there anyways.
Yeah, well, we did applaud that decision. Tiki Barber, former Giant great on the Bernie and Sid Show. Tiki, 20% of NFL players are not vaccinated. This became a big deal in the last couple of weeks. It turns out the NFL is going to fine these players if they remain unvaccinated. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, $15,000 every game that they're not vaccinated. A, is that true? And B, what do you think of it?
I don't know how true that is, and because it's a conversation that has to be collectively bargained. So the NFLPA, I'm sure, will have a say in that. But what they have said is that if a team via unvaccinated player COVID outbreaks has to forfeit a game. Or has to cancel or reschedule a game, and it can't be rescheduled, that they got to forfeit, and then nobody gets paid. Like, if they don't play the game, both teams don't get paid, which is, you know, 1/17th of some of these guys' salaries is a big deal.
It's millions.
Right? So, exactly. And so it's getting dicey around this. And I don't necessarily applaud the NFL, because I know they lost $4 billion last year. They thought they were going to make $16 billion in revenue last year. They made 12, and most of it was because there were no fans in the stadium. But it was complicated. There was a lot of stoppages and starts. We had games played on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursday, the Friday game, Saturday. Like every day of the week had a game played because of how things had to get rescheduled.
I like it.
And it was chaotic. It was chaotic. I did too,
yeah.
In a sense, but it was chaotic,
yep.
And sometimes unfair. Because you'd have one team playing on 4 days rest, you'd have another team playing on 12 days rest, and given the attrition that happens in football, I mean it's just unfair, it's untenable,
yeah.
Right? And so they are, as a private company, they have the right, just like any school or university. We've seen some of these religious institutions. I'm sure you've talked about this. We've seen hospitals. They've mandated, and now the federal government is going to do it. They're mandating that people get the vaccine. The NFL is trying to protect its bottom line. And so as a private entity, they can do that. It's just they're going to get some pushback, and we've already seen it from guys, yeah, like Cole Beasley and others.
Although he did show up, Cole Beasley, yesterday, but DeAndre Hopkins is very upset and others. 30 seconds to go, year two, Joe Judge, all Giant fans here. Are we ever going to see the Saquon Barkley we saw when he was a rookie?
Yeah, I think we will. We might see a better Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Simply because when you get a major injury like that, it forces you to slow down. And he's a smart kid and understands your body a little bit better. Like, you can't just be reckless with it like he was a little bit, and ultimately tore his ACL. But I think he's going to be better given, wow, the now thoughtful way he has to approach his physicality.
And Tiki knows those guys are very, very close. Make sure you catch Tiki every weekday afternoon alongside our other good friend Brandon Peony. That's 3 to 6 on CBS Sports Radio. As always, Tiki, not good, great, brilliant. Best to Tracy. Thank you for coming on today. You were really great. It's nice to catch up, yep, buddy. Thank you.
Take care, bud.
Bernie, Sid, talk to you guys soon. Appreciate you. Be well. Stay safe.
You too. The great number 21, Tiki Barber of the New York Football Giants, who, by the way, better in year three for Daniel Jones win the NFC East this year. An exciting 9 o'clock hour is still to come. It's Bernie and Sid on a Friday.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island. News Talk 107.1 FM. I'll get to this song in a second, folks. I love this song. But Cousin Brucey, he takes over your Saturday night with the best music ever made on the station that made them famous. From 6 to 10 every Saturday night, iconic entertainer Tony Orlando follows him at 10 o'clock. This week, Rock Me Gently star Andy Kim is Tony Orlando's special guest. Listen to this song. Here we go.
Baby, rock me gently.
Great song.
Rock me slowly.
Sing it.
Take it easy. Don't you know that I ain't never,
you know, you're on TV right now, right?
Like this before.
I forgot.
WABCRadio.com. You can watch Bernie sing and take his shirt off.
I'm not doing that.
Not going to do that. I do want to send a quick shout out here to, I mentioned a couple times this morning that for the first time ever, I was in Moynihan Terminal at very early this morning at about 5 a.m. dropping off my daughter Ava's boyfriend, Toby, who's on his way back to South Carolina after living with me basically for the better part of a month between upstate New York and the Upper West Side. He's a good kid, real good kid. And his parents, who happen to like very much Andy and Lara Jankel. Andy and Lara Jankel in Charleston, South Carolina this morning are listening. They're big Bernie and Sid fans. Republicans, smart-minded people, good folks. Republicans in Wimbledon, England,
I would then call them Tories.
Now, why would you say that?
Because Republicans don't exist in the UK. I mean, that's not an official. It's either the Tories or the Conservatives.
They're the Tories, right? That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good job out of you, bro. So they're Jewish and they're Republicans. They're my type of people. So, and I think they're a little down on Boris Johnson like you and I are.
Bro.
Something happened to Boris. I don't know. What happened to Boris?
He got the virus and after that.
Did he get brain damage from that?
That's the speculation.
I'm serious.
People are seriously speculating on that. What happened to Boris Johnson? Especially when he was with, the imbecile in chief over in England.
Joe Biden.
And he goes, yeah, we're going to make everything feminine or something like that. What did he say? Whatever it was. Very strange. Very strange.
I don't know. All I know was that he loved Trump and I loved him. But I never loved him as much as I loved Nigel. Nigel, when he spoke in Arizona at that rally right before Trump lost the election,
listen,
that was the greatest couple of minutes I've ever heard anywhere, anytime. Nigel was the man.
Nigel Farage.
Yes.
The guy who got Brexit going in the first place and then saw it to fruition Boris Johnson jumped on the bandwagon, the Brexit bandwagon, but it was Nigel Farage who initiated all of it. For the led the movement, essentially. This is what Boris Johnson said, sitting alongside Joe Biden.
We're building back better together, and building back greener, and building back fairer, and building back more equal, and in a more gender neutral and perhaps a more feminine way. How about that? Apart from anything else. So those are some of the objectives.
I mean, one too many pints or something like that.
Know.
Or somebody hit him with a Bass Ale bottle over the head. But Nigel Farage, speaking to him as well, he responded to what Boris Johnson said right there by saying this.
And he and Biden had this great big love-in, as of course did Merkel and Macron and everybody. The truth of it is, all the money we're going to charge people for climate change, the Chinese are building two new coal-fired power stations every single week, and we're going to have to pay the price for this. It was mad. So look, don't trust Boris Johnson. He's not really a conservative. He coves it up to Biden. I tell you, Biden made no impression on the UK at all. He spent most of the conference grinning inanely, staring into the middle distance. I'm not sure he even knew he was in the UK.
You know, that's funny, man. That's funny right there. And yet this guy is our leader. He is our leader, and he's going to him. Yesterday he talked about perhaps looking into a national vaccine mandate, which is totally illegal. You can't do that. But he talked about all of that. And here's the bottom line. Front page of the New York Post, they lay it out in stark, clear details. They label it, front page, they label it insanity. This fear-mongering over the Delta variant that's going on right now that may actually end up forcing you to wear a mask at your workplace or something like that. Who knows? But 161 million people are vaccinated in this country, thanks to President Trump. And of those, a tiny fraction, 5,601, caught what they call breakthrough COVID cases and were hospitalized. So 5,600 people were hospitalized due to breakthrough COVID out of 161 million. That is infinitesimally
that is
small.
A very small number,
and,
yes.
And only a little over 1,000 have died, which, by the way, turns out to be 0.0007%. So the New York Post asks sanely and wisely, so why the panic? Why new mask mandates? Why no common sense? Which is what John Catsimatidis says all the time. Common sense.
But you could have, look, I get last March, last April, we were knee deep in it, you and I. Like we just told Tiki Barber, we never stopped coming to work. We were in the middle of Manhattan when everything was complete. It was a ghost town. And I understood then, to a certain extent, the fear. But really, after 4 or 5 months of it, you remember, you and I were in lockstep together. After 4 or 5 months, it became evident that we were overreacting all over the country. So why now, all of a sudden, is it insanity? It's been that way for the better part of 11 months.
Well, it's insanity to, the old phrase is, repeating the same mistake over and over again. That is, you make a mistake once, okay, we understand. But you constantly do it. That's the definition, the dictionary definition, perhaps, of insanity. So that's why it is truly insane. Now, back then, there were a lot of unknowns, and people were trying stuff out, even though we knew, and we were right in the end, and a lot of other people were as well. But yes, this is what's happening here. Hey, Nancy Pelosi, by the way, and the New York Post calls for this is what their editorial is entitled, Get Walensky Off the Air. Megyn Kelly called her an hysteric the other day, and that's what she is. She's a terribly gloom and doom, the sky is falling, a bad, bad communicator, awful. Presenting the worst case scenarios possible.
Yeah.
But she shouldn't be doing it. There's a lot of worst cases.
Of course.
I mean, you can walk out and get hit by a bus today. That's a worst case scenario.
What are you pointing at me for? You know, I always say that about our public officials, and Trump was good at this. Sometimes he was too good at it, and people mistook that for him being insensitive, and that wasn't the case. I need my public officials to lie to me. Just lie to me. Say things are going to be great. You know, like a girlfriend. Just tell me you love me, even if you don't.
Don't induce panic.
Right. Don't. I'm already an erotic mess.
Look, if the worst comes to fruition, the worst case scenario comes to fruition, we'll deal with it.
You'll die.
But don't project.
Right.
And by the way, the probability is just not there. It's improbable that the worst case scenario will develop. Either way, down in Capitol Hill, Nancy Pelosi has ordered that the Capitol Hill police, who we now know, are no more than glorified museum guards. They do nothing. They give directions to tourists. That's what they do for the most part. And they were blubbering all over the place the other day, just four of them anyway, lying, reading Nancy Pelosi's bad script, Trump's a hitman, all this stuff. But in any case, Nancy Pelosi has said that anybody entering the Capitol building in the House without a mask will be arrested, except for congressmen and women. But anyway, this guy from Texas, Congressman Chip Roy, he was furious. He was on the House floor, and he said this.
And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it.
It's just right. He's right. I love Brilliant. The passion. And it is. It's madness. By the way, if let's say Biden does suggest or order, not order, but say heavily suggest that states should do this, that, or the other, the blue states are going to do it. We're going to get screwed.
Of course.
But states like Texas and Florida are not.
I know. We're going to have to move.
We're going to have the same same situation over and over again.
We're going to have to move, you and I, Bern. You want to get an apartment together in Boca?
No, I'm good out where I am, out in...
you're good. Long Island's good.
Long Island.
You're
I'm good. Good. I'm good. I got the boardwalk and... I would get out of the city if I were you, bro.
What am I doing here?
Speaking of this imbecile in chief, he actually gave credit to the man who saved the country. As I mentioned, 161 million Americans have been double vaccinated. They're safe from this dreaded Delta variant. Safe because of Donald Trump, Operation Warp Speed. Finally got credit from this clown yesterday. Take a listen.
The vaccine was developed and authorized under a Republican administration. And it's been distributed and administered under a Democratic administration. The vaccines are safe, highly effective. There's nothing political about them.
I mean, he didn't mention them by name.
No, but he did say Republican administration.
That's a first.
That's a big deal.
That is a first.
That's a
big deal. Listen, finally, this, and I only bring this up because I think it's funny. And funny is good. And speaking of music, we were talking earlier. We're going to talk to Constantine Maroulis in a little bit. One of your favorites, the singer Lizzo.
What do you mean one of my favorites?
I know you love this girl.
I like two of her songs.
You told me off the air you think she's hot, all this stuff.
She's disgusting.
And, well, she looks, she wears her weight proudly. She weighs about 300 pounds.
Yeah, but don't do that.
She flaunts her big butt
she
all over the place.
Do that.
In front of kids, by the way.
That's gross.
That's not necessarily cool, but.
Right.
There's this rumor, and it was a strong rumor. People were believing
it. Too much.
That she was not, you know, the crowd surfing, stage diving.
Yeah, like
diving
like a mosh pit. You dive into the crowd.
Exactly. Dived. Right. So she dove into the crowd.
No.
Killed somebody.
Well, of course. She killed somebody.
That was the rumor.
What? What do you mean rumor?
I swear to God.
It happened.
So anyway, somebody asked her about it. Listen.
The thing that bothers me the most is this rumor that I stage dived at a concert and killed somebody. Rumor, it's a lie, first of all. I've never stage dived in my life. Like, I know I'm big, but I'm not that big.
Oh, yes, you are.
Like I said earlier, don't worry, Lizzo. We believe you because if you did stage dive, a lot more than one person would have died.
It would have been a mass killing.
Right. It would have been 10 dead, 12 dead, yes. 14 dead. Hey, on a serious note, do want to send our prayers out right now to the Spagnola family. You know, we had Dolores and Valerie on a couple of days ago. And right now, as we speak, Valerie is going through triple bypass surgery at St. Joe's Hospital in Newark. And the whole family is there, Valerie, Laura, Lewis, Dolores, everybody, waiting for the surgery to end, which will be at some time this afternoon. So prayers, love, and wishes go out to Valerie Spagnola from all of us on the Bernie and Sid Show for a good operation today, and certainly a very, very speedy recovery. Still to come, Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers, 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's your chance to play. $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug at stake here. Is it still Celebrity Wet Apple, Beat Bernie, today?
And indeed it is. It'll be Ray Raimundi, our news anchor.
Ray Raimundi!
Oh, Ray's coming at me now?
Yeah.
I got some serious competition today.
You do?
Not that Gabby Lopez or any of the previous contestants from Red Apple were not serious competition.
Gabby
but
and Jen were terrible.
Ray Raimondi, I think he's got like, you know, he's got a master's in
he's a very bright
world
guy.
Geography or something like that.
Smart guy. Now, look, not that Gabby and Jen aren't smart. They're both brilliant young ladies, but
It
was one of the worst performances I've ever seen yesterday. They were adorable and fun. It made for a great segment, but I mean, come on.
Hey, listen. You have to give him credit for stepping up.
I do?
Well, I do.
Okay.
You don't have to.
No, they were great.
They were.
And we love Gabby and Jen, and Ray's going to be great today, so keep it right here, the Friday edition of Bernie and Sid.
What am I going to do with 400 ventilators?
Sophie B. Hawkins. I like this chick, man. This Constantine Maroulis. I got to say this, and I'm not one to just hand out compliments to folks who don't deserve it. In fact, I hate that about our country. Everybody's great. No, you're not. You're not. Not everybody's great. Not everybody on this station is great, by the way, to be honest with you. This kid's great. His show on Saturdays at 5 o'clock is great. And he's got three big guests stopping by tomorrow. Debbie Gibson, when she sings In Your Eyes, I Cry. I'm not even kidding. Which is further proof I'm probably gay. Also, Sophie B. Hawkins and Lisa Loeb, when she sings Stay, I Cry, like the cameraman on that commercial, meaning. They're all coming up tomorrow, plus some girl from American Idol who knows I've ever heard of. Anyway, here he is, the host of his own show, 5 o'clock on Saturdays, the really entertaining and handsome Constantine Maroulis.
Whoa, what an intro.
You liked it?
Much. Good morning, Friday, New York, worldwide, what up?
Sup, good looking?
That's right.
You know, if you cut all that hair off, though, and went bald like me and Bernie, I don't think you'd be as sexy as you are, so.
Well, the bald is sexy. We are the three amigos. That's what we could do. We could have our own sitcom, the three of us.
There you go.
Like Coneheads.
There you go. Hey, do you know, by the way, and I hate bringing this up because the Greek people now are my favorite, and I really mean that because I love John and Margot so much, and I certainly have an affinity for you. Do you know the only sports commentator that was fired at the Olympics is from Greece?
Well, he said some crazy stuff. I don't know if you read what he said, but
he made fun of Asians. He made fun of Asians, right?
Yes.
Is that what he did?
He wouldn't be the first Greek saying dumb stuff on television, I'll tell you that much. But
that's true.
Yeah, that was not cool. You know, obviously, the magnifying glass is super zoomed in right now on everything Olympics and anything outside of the realm of PC. So,
by the way,
talking about
Greek saying stuff on TV that was reprehensible, and you know this probably, Bernie, too. I don't know. Was Jimmy the Greek actually Greek?
No,
of course
he
not.
Wasn't, right?
So that alone was sort of just offensive that they would call him the Greek, as if he was the guy with the betting numbers and the outlook on all things gambling. So,
but he wasn't even Greek. He wasn't even Greek.
It was a different time.
Yeah,
you were triggered by that, right?
Of course.
Well, definitely a little before my time, but I have some recollection of him, but I guarantee if we stuck him behind a diner counter, he would have.
That's funny. Well, you say a little before your time, and I'm older than you, and Bernie's even older than me. But Debbie Gibson, and I just said when she sings In Your Eyes, I start to cry, and I mean that. She is certainly way before your time, but you, of course, appreciate the immense star that she was back in the 80s.
I do. I've gotten to know her as a friend. She's just a beautiful, beautiful girl. And the most interesting about her is her versatility, the longevity. She wrote, recorded, produced that song to a number one hit. I think she's been the youngest person to ever do that and to record a number one Billboard hit at age 15, 16.
How old was Tiffany when she did I Think We're Alone Now, the Turtles?
A little older than that. That was a big hit as well, but I'm not sure if she also composed it, produced it.
No, she stole that. She's the Turtles, I think, actually did that song first, I believe.
So yeah, so it was a remake and certainly a great era. We have some great women in music and pop culture. The Divas we're celebrating this week on my show tomorrow, of course. Because Saturday Night Rocks, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of people popping by. And we got Kimberly Locke. Now, you said you didn't know her, but Kimberly Locke is from American Idol. She's an amazing singer, but you would recognize her more recently. She does a lot of the foodie infomercials with, like, Emeril Lagasse, and she's on there a lot. She does a lot of hosting and a lot of network
stuff. Is she a blonde girl?
No, no. She's African American. Oh, she's from Tennessee, by way of Connecticut now. She's a very pretty girl, big voice, and she is delightful. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I have
coming
to...
out, coming up as well.
I think he's dropping out a little bit.
I'm here, boys.
Constantine Maroulis on the Bernie and Sid show. He's going to be on at 5 o'clock tomorrow on 77 WABC. Excuse me. I want to say this, Constantine. On Jimmy the Greek, his family roots were in the village of Thalapatami on the island of Chios in the Aegean Sea, and his first name is actually Dimitrios. So I think he is Greek.
That's my father's name, Dimitrios. Yes, that's my father. So he is Greek. There he is.
All right. Just wanted to clear that up. So, but listen, Constantine, look, your show is great Saturdays, you're going to interview these ladies. Tell us more about it.
Well, I'm excited because I've worked with Lisa Loeb before, and of course, she's such an iconic 90s. Singer, songwriter. Her song Stay was a huge part of the movie Reality Bites, if you remember. Winona Ryder, Ben Stiller, you know, Ethan Hawke, just iconic. We've done some work together with Musicians on Call, a great association that helps out artists in need, with our band, the Band of Merrymakers. It's a Christmas sort of group. We do stuff, for charity. Me, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, some great singer-songwriters, and Lisa's just awesome. She calls in. She's working on a new musical. She's been super busy. You've seen her in the Geico commercials with her glasses and all of that. And you played Sophie B. Hawkins, an interesting artist for sure. She calls in, and I have extensive interview coming up with these ladies as well when we go to podcast in the next couple weeks as well. So they're going to come in, they're going to do performances. I only have them for a couple of minutes on the show tomorrow, but for more in-depth interviews, definitely go to the podcast, and they're going to be archived on WABCMusicRadio.com.
All right, worldwide. Sexy. That sounds great. By the way, Wyckoff says hello. You're a
Thank
legend
you.
There.
Big I'm here
legend.
Now. I'm here now. There are baby deer running around in my front yard. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, she used to live in Wyckoff, New Jersey.
I'm back here now. I came back about 6 years ago to raise my daughter in the great school system here. Left the city.
Yeah.
But keep a place in the city, but this is my home out here now for sure.
Oh, good. New Jersey.
I'm heading up to, after the show tomorrow, I got a big show in Rochester, New Hampshire. I'm literally steaming up there as soon as I wrap. And we sold out the Opera House up there. We got plenty of dates coming up, ConstantineMaroulis.com. But definitely check in the show. It's going to be awesome tomorrow.
All right, cool. If you want to pay me a Bernie $5,000 or $10,000, we'll be happy to host any one of your shows. And really
that would be fine.
The
yeah, definitely. Okay. That will definitely happen.
All right, brother. Listen, you're great today. Tomorrow's going to be a really, really great show. We love having you at the station. And stay good looking.
Yeah. I appreciate it, guys. Be good. Be safe this weekend.
You're the
man. Broadway's open. Go get your tickets.
All right.
No doubt.
Well, if you can get us for free tickets, we'd be happy to go.
We'll see
you Constantine Maroulis, 5 o'clock. Every Saturday, only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
What's with these jerk-offs on the phone today? Sid's a name dropper. Sid calls everyone great. Shut up. Don't listen to me. Go listen to somebody else. If I annoy you that much, you know I'm great. You know you love this show. Go listen to Boomer. He doesn't call himself great, doesn't call anybody great, doesn't drop names. You'll love him. Go ahead. Get out. Don't complain. Don't ever come to the show and complain. I'm serious. I'm tired of it. Best show in New York, best show in the country. You love me. I love you. Shut up. Shut up and listen. That's your job. Not to talk. If you were such a good talker, you'd have this job. And I'd be driving in my car on the way to my real estate office. Or banging the tennis ball like you're about to do. Anyway. Ray Raimondi, how are you, handsome?
Sydney, good morning to you. Well, I'm gonna start by complaining. I can't believe Matt Meany talked me into this. Talk about the pressure. Has anyone won yet?
No one's won, no.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to tell you, Sydney, you know what I did?
What's that?
I got on a striped shirt like Bernie wears. I got a Henley underneath. I'm wearing white khaki shorts, and I got on Jordans, and I got oat milk in a Poland Spring water bottle. I've been in my room fist bumping like he usually does, so I could be like Bernie.
That is
so
hilarious.
I better not screw up.
I like
yeah,
sounds
I'm
like he's doing all the right
you.
Things. Yes, yes. He's doing all the right things.
Well, I got to get the questions right now.
Before we get to the game, Joseph Abud checks in because the Yankees got Gallo and Rizzo. By the way, Abud, you know, you guys got Schwarber.
He's got 25 home runs. He says, the sin of gluttony, a typical Yankee move, it never works. It pisses off the baseball gods. But again, the Red Sox got a big home run hitter, too, so I'm not sure Joe Abboud should be talking. Anyway, Ray Raimondi, are you ready to play? I know you're dressed like Bernie. Are you ready to beat him?
I'm nervous. Well, but I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Serbia, Croatia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Kosovo, Montenegro, and Bosnia, and Herzegovina are the seven modern countries that made up what country from 1915 to 1992? It was one.
Is that the Czech Republic?
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax.
Not a terrible guess. It was Yugoslavia. All right, Raymond. What continent represents about a third of the world's land surface? This you know. It's easy. Big continent. Biggest one. Come on.
Antarctica.
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
No, you got to be kidding. Did you just say Antarctica? Of course it's Asia.
Oh, that's right.
Ay, Raymond. Good thing.
Well, you know, Bernie said I had a degree in world history, a master's. I don't. I got an Emmy Award, though.
Hey, and you're very handsome, and you got a great personality.
Not as handsome as you, sir.
Oh, don't you have to say that. That's true, but you don't have to say that. Number three. No, you're actually better looking than I am. Here we go. Number three. Of ding, dong, or gong?
Kong.
Of ding, dong, or Kong, which one of these is the basic monetary unit of the country of Vietnam? It's hilarious.
I'm going to go with Dong.
Yes!
There it is! What a name, right? Hey, I'm going to give you a Dong.
It is kind of funny. All righty. In 1692, Ray Raimondi, people in what Massachusetts city hanged 19 and pressed one to death on the charge of witchcraft? Very easy. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Salem,
my father,
Salem
my
witchcraft.
My dad used to smoke those cigarettes.
Nice.
Yeah, Salem. All right, so you've gotten two out of four. Let's close it out strongly here. There are three small active volcanic islands belonging to the Japanese in the Pacific Ocean known as the Volcano Islands. The Volcano Islands. They consist of Kita Iwo, Minami Iwo, and what other island? You know this. Come on. Iwo.
Oh, my gosh.
Iwo. Come on, Ray.
Let's see here. Evo. Can I get a?
Evo.
Did you repeat the? Can I get a repeat for the question more time?
The three volcanoes on this volcano island are Kita Iwo, Minami Iwo, and Iwo, the most famous of all. Come on, you know this.
Oh my goodness!
What other? What Iwo? What? What do you know as Iwo? What other country?
Iwo. Iwo.
Iwo. Oh, excuse me. All right, it's Iwo Jima. Iwo Jima is what
wrong. Oh, Iwo Jima.
Yeah. All right, well, you got two right. Well,
an easy game today, though.
No, it wasn't easy.
Bernard may struggle with this, I think, other than the Salem witch trial thing. So we'll see.
You didn't play badly. You got two right. Let's see if Bernard fares better. I know you want to win
badly. I did. I really did. Okay. All right, is he running down?
He's here. He's actually here right now. So here we go.
Oh, good morning, Bernard.
He said good morning, Ray. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Ray?
You need three to beat Ray today. That's it. Just three, okay? You can talk after the game. You can talk after the game. Here we go. Number one, Bernie. Serbia, Croatia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Kosovo, Montenegro, and Bosnia, and Herzegovina are the seven modern countries that made up what country from 1918 through 1992?
That was run by a guy named Tito, and the country was Yugoslavia.
Bang.
Former communist country of Yugoslavia.
What continent represents about a third of the world's land surface?
A third of the world's... What country makes up...
The biggest continent.
The biggest continent.
Come on, it's easy.
Hold on a second. I'm not going to answer anything quickly. I would say the continent would be Asia.
Yes. Even I know that.
I'm not answering anything.
No, I understand.
I'm going to think for a second.
Now, you have three more to go. If you get one of these next three right, which you will, then you win today's game. And you beat Ray, which, by the way, is not very nice. But that's fine.
Okay, I'll tank it. Go ahead.
You should tank it. Of ding, dong, or kong,
which of these is the basic monetary unit of the country of Vietnam? Ding dong or Kong?
Ding dong or Kong?
Yes.
Ding dong or Kong?
Yes.
I'll have to go with, Kong.
Wrong, you two-legged back of that.
Incorrect.
All right.
It's what's inside your pants right about now.
I hate you.
Number four, in 1692, you haven't lost yet, Raymond. People in what Massachusetts city, here's where it's over, hanged 19 and pressed one to death on the charge of witchcraft. Simple witchcraft. I know.
I used to smoke cool cigarettes.
My dad smoked these.
But Salem's were...
My dad. Nicely done, Bernie. You went to these
choice.
And to see if you can get four out of five... There are three small active volcanic islands belonging to the Japanese in the Pacific Ocean. They're known as the Volcano Islands. They consist of Kita Iwo, Minami Iwo, and what other island?
That would be Iwo Jima.
Yes. All right. 4-2, your final score today.
In
well
fact, the name of the volcano on Iwo Jima is, I'll go you one better.
What's that?
Everybody, anybody, any World War II buff would know it's Iwo Jima.
Right.
That's I'm sorry, Mount Suribachi.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Really? That's an easy one, Mount Suribachi?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
That's where they raised the iconic flag.
4-2, your final score in today's game. Raymond, say hello to your friend Bernard.
Hello, Raymond.
Bernie, good morning. Man, you did it again. Man, none of us got to win. And I was telling Sid earlier, Bernie, I actually dressed like you. I wore a striped button-down shirt open with a Henley. I had on some white khaki shorts and my Jordans. I had oat milk in a Poland Spring water bottle. I was fist pumping in my room.
Nice.
I guess I was tired from working last night, but well, you know, you are the smartest man I know. So,
well, that's kind of you to say, and I doubt that that's true. But Ray, listen, you do work a lot of hours, so fatigue does play a part when you lose a game of trivia, or world history, politics, whatever it is.
You're being very humble.
Sleep
Bernie.
Deprivation does.
You're being very humble,
and I am terribly sleep deprived right now.
And you still.
I know. You know what? I got dong right, but I couldn't get the fact that Asia had a third of the world's land. Could you believe that?
I guess I could.
I couldn't. I was shocked.
what continent did you pick, by the way?
Huh?
Antarctica. I picked Antarctica.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Whatever.
All right.
And I said Czech Republic. But
well,
thank
listen,
you for having me on.
You were great today. You're a breath of fresh air at the station. You really are. We love having you here. You're a great guy. And thank you for playing today's game. And keep smiling, Ray. It helps out the rest of us. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
It sounds good. You two have a great weekend.
You too.
There he is. One of the nicest guys
at really
the
station. He really is. He's a very talented guy and a sweetheart, Ray Raimondi. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. The last segment of the week, your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid, is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Strangers in the night.
Beautiful. Hate to interrupt old Blue Eyes here. Ladies and gentlemen, wrap up your weekend with the chairman and vice chairman of the board, Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra, starring Joe Piscopo from 6 to 9, followed by the King of Cool Music from Dean Martin, hosted by his daughter Dina at 9 o'clock. So you have Piscopo and Sinatra. Then you have Dean Martin's daughter at 9 o'clock
Remember
on Sunday night.
We had her
night.
In studio that one time?
I do.
With the book, she was great.
Such a nice lady.
Great.
Your great summer of music is on Music Radio 77 WABC. One mention quickly of a great statesman, Peter King, congressman,
yes.
Former congressman Peter King.
Yeah.
He's got an article in The Hill, thehill.com.
Yep.
It's entitled, Rising Crime Issues Will Make Democrats a Lot Less Safe in 2022. Very clever, Peter King, and it's an interesting article, so check it out at thehill.com.
He sent it to me, too. He talks specifically about one cop, though. Is that the same article? I guess
no.
It is.
In this case, he's talking about crime in general, the issue, but also he alludes to Eric Adams.
Oh, Eric Adams. Okay. Well, Eric Adams is a few of these callers want to talk about him, but first, being that Bernie reads a lot of books. Doc is in New Jersey on line three. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. Show's great as usual.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, sir.
So James Brady, the author of this book, his father was
well, what is the name of the book? You haven't mentioned the name yet.
Flags of Our Fathers.
Oh, okay. You're talking about, the guy who his father was not one of the men who raised the flag at Iwo Jima, as it turns out. But he wrote a book that was terrific. It was called Flags of Our Fathers, as you point out, Doc. What was James? It wasn't Brady. James's last name?
Not the James Brady, the guy, guy. That's the Reagan guy who got shot. He was
Bradley, James Bradley.
There you go.
I know him very well, the son. Right. James Bradley wrote the book. In fact, Imus helped put it on the New York Times bestseller. It is one of the greatest World War II generations, greatest generation books.
Yeah.
Even though it turns out his dad didn't raise the flag, his dad was there.
Right.
But the forensic investigations of the pictures and everything showed, it turns out that his dad wasn't one of the flag raisers, but he still wrote a terrific book about all the people who were there, the flag raisers included. And yes, that is a great book, Flags of Our Fathers. I recommend it highly.
Thank you, Doc. Don't forget, today is the baseball trade deadline. The Yankees did get Joey Gallo, Rodriguez, and Anthony Rizzo so far. The question is, will the first-place Mets do something by the end of the day? I hope they do. Get some pitching or at least one more bat. We will the Yankees get pitching? We'll find out later on today. Folks, have yourselves a great weekend. It's going to be gorgeous up until Sunday afternoon. We really enjoyed putting these shows on for you all week long, and we do love you guys from all of us here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show until 6:30 on Monday morning. Peace!